Welcome once again to Daily Bible Time for another week. We hope that you'll have the opportunity this week to join us each day as we look into God's Word. We concluded our studies last week on a rather controversial note, a bit of controversial topic. We were asking the question, our Great Commission. You hear that expression used a lot about the instructions that the Lord Jesus Christ gave to his apostles just before he ascended into heaven, after his resurrection, before he ascended into heaven. Our Great Commission, just exactly what is our Great Commission today? You know, there are a lot of questions that Christians just don't ask. Pastor J.C. O'Hare many years ago wrote a little chorus, we've been taught it all along, it must be right. No, we haven't searched the Scripture for the light. Tradition's been our guide, and we're satisfied. We've been taught it all along, we must be right. And unfortunately, that applies to a lot of different areas in the Christian life. None any more blatantly than the question, our Great Commission, just what is it? And it's strange, I understand, that at this late date in church history, the body of Christ would still not be sure what its commission is. But you get the average preacher, the average denomination, the average religious institution, training institution, seminary, college, Bible institute, and you ask them, and they will pick between Matthew 28, Mark 16, Luke 24, John, well, they leave John out most of the time, and Acts chapter 1. And they'll pick one of those, and yet struggle with trying to obey any of them, much less any one in particular. Now, I want to offer you this week, each day, an alternative solution to the picking and choosing between the post-resurrection commissions that people do. And my purpose on this Bible study, our purpose here day after day, my job and my aim is not to set people straight. I'm not here to straighten people out and fix their thinking. My job is just to teach the Word of God. Teach what it says, not what it's presumed to teach, and let God's Word do its job. And I'm going to offer you an alternative view to the Matthew 28, Mark 16, Luke 24, John 20, and Acts 1 commissions. And I'm going to do it by just reading the commissions and teaching what they actually say and letting what they say be what they are instead of trying to change them into something else. And you'll see as we go along how liberating that is. Matthew 28. The book of Matthew is called by many the Gospel of the King and His Kingdom. It sets at the head of the four Gospels. In the Old Testament, we don't have time to go through all these things, but God had prophesied to Israel, promised to Israel. He gave them a fourfold. He said, when your Messiah comes, here are four pictures, here are four roles, here are four things, means whereby you can identify him. And he says, behold your king, the prophet says. Behold my servant, the Lord says. Behold the man, the prophet says. And behold your God cometh. And those four behold statements in the Old Testament are gathered together in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And in Matthew, we behold Israel's king, Israel's Messiah. And so at the conclusion of the book, when Christ is about to ascend into heaven and leave his apostles here, he gives them his parting instructions. And the parting instructions that Christ gives in Matthew 28 are instructions that are befitting those of a king and his kingdom. Matthew 28:16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. In the Scripture, if you know anything about the Bible and you study the Bible, you know that mountains in the Bible are often used as pictures and types and symbols of kingdoms. In Daniel chapter number 2, when Daniel sees this great image of that he sees of the times of the Gentile world powers who were to rule and reign and control the power in the earth until Jesus Christ were to come back and set up his kingdom, when Christ comes back and sets up his kingdom, it's viewed as a great stone coming out of heaven, landing on the earth, destroying all of the Gentile nations, and then growing into a great mountain. And that's why the mountain is used that way. So when Christ, in Matthew 5, when he gives the Sermon on the Mount, he sits as a king giving the constitution of the government of his kingdom and the way the citizens of his kingdom will live, he's on a mountain. Matthew 28, when the king is about to go away to give his parting instructions to the citizens of his kingdom, he's on a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. Luke chapter 22, verse 28, Jesus told the 12, ye are they which have continued with me in my temptation, and I appoint you a kingdom, as my Father hath appointed unto me, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on 12 thrones, on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. So now he's gathered his apostles together, as he has appointed them, and he says to them, verse 18, Jesus came and spake unto them, and said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Notice he makes an entrance. He comes to them, as the second coming will have him coming to them again. And he says unto them, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. But you know, Hebrews chapter number 2, verse 8 is very clear. Hebrews 2, verse 8 says, we see not yet all things put under his feet. Jesus Christ is the rightful King of the universe. But he is not at this moment in time, nor was he in the moment of Matthew 28, exercising that power. But the commission that he gives his apostles in Matthew 28 is one given in light of the fact that he has come to take up all power. So in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 8 says, but now we see not yet all things put under him. The indication is the thing in Matthew 28 hasn't actually materialized as yet. And when he says he's given me all power in heaven and earth, that's exactly what he'll do in his kingdom. Revelation chapter 11, verse 15, he says, the seven angels sounded, and there was great voices in heaven, saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And in his kingdom, the reason Jesus Christ has all power is because in Revelation 20, he binds Satan and casts him into the bottomless pit and chains him there in chains of darkness, that he would deceive the nations no more. You know, it's obvious we're not in that kingdom today. Who is the god of this world? Well, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul says, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, and whom the god of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not. Jesus Christ, when he was tempted of Satan, Satan took him up into the high place and showed him all the kingdoms of this world in a moment of time. And he said, all these kingdoms and the power of these kingdoms and the glory are mine, and to whomsoever I give you, give it. Jesus didn't say, no, they're not. They belong to me. He didn't say that to him. He didn't deny that Satan was the god of this world, the prince of this world. You see, he's that by popular acclaim and acclamation, by default, by usurping, not by the fact that he has the right to it. Jesus Christ has the right to it, but the world has turned their back on Christ and claimed the adversary. Well, that same status and condition that was there in Luke 4 at the temptation of Christ, that is there now in the dispensation of grace when he is the royal exile, where Satan is out deceiving the nations, well, that condition of satanic captivity of humanity is going to be reversed when Christ comes back, and he'll possess all power. It will be given to him, and he will be using it. You remember in Mark chapter 3, the Lord Jesus Christ says that if you're going to spoil a strong man's house, if you're going to come in into a strong man, no man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods except he first bind the strong man. And then shall he spoil his house. Satan is bound by Christ when the kingdom comes. You know good and well you're not in the kingdom today because Satan's on the loose. Somebody says, well, he's bound today. No, he's not bound today. He's out deceiving the nations like Revelation 20 says he won't be when Christ has all power, exercises all power. Now, on the basis of that kingdom status of Christ in verse 18, he says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Now, a lot of folks like to quote that, you know, at missionary conference, go ye therefore and teach all nations. But did you ever notice Numbers chapter 23, verse 19? Now, think for a minute. Listen. Numbers 23, 19, from the top of the rocks, Balaam told Balak, I see him, talking about Israel, and from the hills I behold him. Lo, the people, that's Israel, shall dwell alone and shall not be reckoned among the nations. God has set the nation Israel aside as a separate, distinct, special people unto himself. And God has said, you shall not reckon the nation Israel among the nations. Well, if Jesus says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, and you can't reckon Israel among the nations, then this is a commission to teach Gentiles and not teach the nation Israel. You know what you have to do if you follow Matthew 28 commission? You can't preach to the nation Israel. Well, that's what the verses say. Go teach all nations. Go teach the Gentiles. And Israel is not reckoned among the Gentiles. Now, why would there be a commission given to teach Gentiles and not Israel? Well, in the kingdom, when the new covenant is put into effect, Hebrews chapter 8, verse 11 says about the nation Israel, they shall not teach every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. You see, the Matthew 28 commission fits when all Israel has been saved, and then they go out and take the message of God's salvation, which they've received, to the nations, baptizing them in the name of the triune God, so that the nations of the earth, the Gentiles, own the authority of the triune God, and then teach them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, Jesus said. You remember what Jesus commanded them? I mean, you do remember the Sermon on the Mount, don't you? You remember where the Lord Jesus Christ says to his followers in the Sermon on the Mount, that whosoever shall teach the law, whosoever shall do and teach the law, shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. In other words, Jesus Christ told his disciples to go out and teach the law. He said, I'm going to write my law in your hearts, in your inward parts. The rich young ruler came to Christ in Matthew 19, said, good master, what must I do to have eternal life? What did he tell him? He said, keep the commandments. And he said, I've done all them. And he said, okay, go sell what you have and give it to the poor and come follow me. Now, do you teach that today? I guarantee you, I've heard hundreds and hundreds and thousands of preachers preach about the Matthew 28 commission. I never heard one yet tell somebody that the way they had eternal life is keep the commandments, go sell what you have and give it away. No. People don't follow that, but that's what the commission here says. You're to teach to observe, teach to do all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And he flat commanded them those things. But that'll fit in the kingdom, because in Isaiah chapter 2, for example, all the nations of the earth come to Jerusalem, and the law of the Lord goes out from Jerusalem. And the Bible says that the knowledge of God covers the face of the earth as the water covers the sea, and that law goes out. Matthew 28 is the kingdom commission, the commission that Christ gave his apostles in view of their status of reigning over the nation Israel in the kingdom. Now, that's why he would say in verse 20, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. He's going to be personally present with them all the way through this program. This is a commission that fits. It's the king's commission about his kingdom, and it fits right where it fits in the Bible. When you leave the verses where they are and you let them be what they are, they mean what they say. They say what they mean. Let me give you a Bible study tape that'll help you with this. I know, you know, I said this is an alternative view, and it might sound a little strange to you today. By the end of the week, it won't. We'll go through these verses. Let me give you a free Bible study tape where the commissions fit. We hear from people all the time talking about rightly dividing the word. A man told me the other day, he said, you know, this has turned on the light for me. A lady told me, she said, for the first time, Brother Rick, I understand what God is doing by understanding his word rightly divided. Well, you're not going to make God do something that he's not doing, friend. You're wasting your time trying to do that. Maybe you've been taught it all along, but you might not be right. You need to search the scripture for the light. Let me give you this free Bible study tape, Where the Commissions Fit. You call me here at our office, 888-535-2300, and I'll see that you get a free copy of this important Bible study tape. 888-535-2300. My friend, I say to you, week after week, we can't make you believe anything. I wouldn't want to make you believe something, but I do want to put into your hands some information that can open God's Word to you. Now, maybe you're not interested. Well, then just hang on. Somebody else will be on here in a few minutes talking about something else. But if you've ever struggled with really wanting your Christian life and experience to match what you read in God's Word, this is information that can be liberating for you. 888-535-2300 is the number to call. You call, and we'll see that you get your copy free of charge, our gift to you of this information that can help you understand and enjoy the Bible. Tune in again the same time tomorrow. Don't miss it. Maranatha.